Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 811 News Radio 92.3. Happy Friday to you. Julio Diaz hosts the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook and then join them for movies and discussion afterwards. Also, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So one movie you saw last night, I think the one you guys actually watched last night was Asteroid City and?
Yeah, so this is the new Wes Anderson film. So if you are
I love Wes Anderson so much.
Yeah, if you follow independent film or really just film in general, I mean he's a fairly well known commodity at this point. You kind of have at least some idea what to expect. He has a very idiosyncratic style. He's very very particular and this is a Wes Anderson film. If you either love that or you don't. And I guess I didn't realize that he wasn't still like every critic's favorite filmmaker.
Huh.
So the reviews have kind of dipped on some of his stuff, I guess, since Grand Budapest Hotel. Although Moonrise Kingdom got great reviews too. So I don't know why some people are telling, no, it's not an automatic that every critic's going to go gaga over a Wes Anderson film anymore. But he is a very well-respected director. He draws these incredible casts, which this one is no exception. Like half of Hollywood is in this movie. I thought it was really good. I'm not 100% sure what it all meant.
That sounds right. That sounds about right.
But that's also kind of the point of the movie. The movie is a movie of a play with inside a movie. In a sense, and it goes back and forth between the story of the play and the story of the creation of the play and the people surrounding the play. So it kind of bounces back and forth in and out of that world. And, so some of it looks very artificial, and some of that is the aesthetic of the time period of the play, and some of that is the fact that you're supposed to be within the play, so it looks like a set.
I gotcha. Okay.
And I think artifice is kind of a theme with this film in a sense. But it's also really funny.
That's my favorite. That's what I love about Wes Anderson films is when they're not just weird, but when they're genuinely funny. You know, like French Dispatch, genius. I mean, fantastic.
Yeah.
Mr. Fox, amazing movie. Some of these things are.
Yeah.
So when
this
he's sharp, it's good.
Very fun. Very funny. Good performances. Great cast. Everybody from Jason Schwartzman and Scarlett Johansson we could spend the rest of the show and I could name
just
everybody that was in it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Ed Norton, Bryan Cranston, Tom Hanks, Jeffrey Wright. I mean, this is kind of a cast. That's the way it goes.
Steve Carell, Margot Robbie.
Oh my God! Wow.
Maya Hawke, Sophia Lillis. It's crazy. It's a murderer's row.
What? How about No Hard Feelings? That was the other one that came out this week.
Yeah, so this is you've probably seen the ads for this because it's been pretty omnipresent for a couple months now. This is the Jennifer Lawrence raunchy comedy that, for some reason, Academy Award winner Jennifer Lawrence is doing an R-rated sex comedy. Okay, that's happening. But you don't get a whole lot of these anymore, at least not in a theatrical release. And I guess it's a theatrical release because it's starring Jennifer Lawrence, because this really feels like the kind of movie that probably could have gone to streaming. And I don't personally like the first trailer was funny enough, but it just doesn't feel like the kind of thing that I feel like I got to rush out to the theater to see. It feels like a catch it on cable sometime kind of movie. But the reviews are pretty decent, running 65%. Apparently, it's pretty funny.
So this is sort of the, despite being Jennifer Lawrence, if you like the Judd Apatow kind of universe, this is what you're looking at?
Yeah, but I don't even think it's really Judd Apatow. I think it's even more a little bit of a throwback than that. She plays a young woman who is not able to hold down the job. She's about to lose her family home, and she comes across a an employment ad from these two helicopter parents to help their 19-year-old son come out of his shell before he goes off to college.
I gotcha. So they're hiring the girlfriend, mentor, surrogate, escort kind of, and therefore the comedy. Okay.
Yeah, the line in the trailer is, she asks the parents, do you want me to date him or do you want me to date him? And they say, oh, date him hard. And she says, I'll date his brains out. So you get where they're going with that.
I gotcha. All right, well, yeah. What are you guys going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
Well, I mean, there's a little movie coming out next week called The Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Never heard of it. This is a new series?
Yeah, brand new. Newcomer called Harrison Ford starring.
Newcomer, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that'll be what we'll be checking out.
I look forward to that next Thursday. You can follow them, the Pensacola Movie Club, on Facebook. Also, Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Julio will be doing that. Julio, as always, thanks for the time and the humor and the fair criticism always, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
No worries. Thanks, Andrew.
A16 News Radio 92.3 Candy's got traffic for you.
Again, not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. The accidents that we've had earlier, looks like they all have been cleaned up and moved off to the side. We see a new vehicle crash. This is Beverly Parkway and Rock Island Place in Pensacola, but not showing any slowdowns or anything. Again, the only congestion we're seeing is just, you know, like traffic lights and people making their way in. 29 accident-free from the split at Pace Palafox all the way up to Molino and the Atmar cutoff. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth, she's a fantastic resource. And, you know, part of it is she's done this so many times, right? 230 homes sold last year, similar kind of numbers the year before, like a little bit lower, but she's going up every year. But to the point where it's ingrained in her. It's like second nature. You know, she'll look at your home and be like, okay, we can tweak this and it'll, you know, improve by 1,000. We can tweak that and it'll improve. You know, and you think, well, I really love that landscape. And you're like, well, you're the only one. I mean, you know, like she'll be honest with you in a way that'll help you sell your home and get the most money for that important asset, right? Same thing on the buy side. She knows what the market will support. She knows whether it's a fair price and she can tell you, we can haggle on this. We can't haggle on that. Here's what you're going to be up against. I think you can do better. You know, she'll tell you because she's trying to give you good, clean advice that she knows from her vast experience selling homes in this market. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
When was the last time you experienced something new? Really new. Like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs. Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek. You'll think you've driven into the future, and the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S, now from $24,999, the Tiguan S from $27,999, and the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the Great Spirit of Inclusion. and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Thank you, brother. The first memorial this week is for the leaders of Florida's new college. Due to their decision to replace the school's long-standing Null Set mascot with the Mighty Banyans. Now, obviously, we have deep concerns about appropriation of this tree's species culture for a sports team without even securing verbal or written consent from the trees themselves. Allegedly, they didn't even ask. We certainly expect that the portrayal of these trees as violent, overpowering, and dominant is offensive to the peaceful species Ficus bengalensis, a speciesist lie if we ever heard one. Moreover, the banyan isn't even native to Florida, being in fact the national tree of India and having been transplanted to Fort Myers in the late 1800s involuntarily by none other than that instigator of global climate change himself, Thomas Edison, thus making the banyan a symbol of white male oppression through the international tree trade and the trail of sap drippings. But worst of all is the picture used for the new college banyans, a clear dog whistle for racists, depicting the dark-skinned tree as a menacing African-American male with bulging muscles and a leafy afro. Kudos to Robin Taub Williams, the woke white female teacher who properly asked several of her black friends if this was a racist icon before going public with her concerns in the Sarasota Herald Tribune. They said yes, and she bravely took on the evildoers at New College in an effort to expose their racist mascotification of black men and peaceful trees. Thus, we demand New College deforest its mascot, apologize to the Lorax, and return the proud legacy of being the ferocious Null Sets. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Johns Hopkins University, for misdemeanor misogyny and second-degree felony backsliding, in a misguided effort to virtue signal their inclusion of non-binary female sexualities, all 413 varieties of which have so far been identified, the Johns Hopkins University Center for Diversity and Inclusion recently updated their Gender and Sexuality Resources LGBTQ glossary to define lesbian as a non-man attracted to non-men, thus including non-binary people who identify as lesbian but not as women. We, of course, applaud broadening the category beyond just broads, but unfortunately, they continue to define gay men as being a man. In this ham-fisted effort at inclusivity, the center thus redefined lesbian in an entirely male way by negation, no longer women but now non-men. Still, as Frank Hoffer's treatise on linguistic supersedence teaches us, sexual inclusion trumps anti-sexism, being values of the third and fourth level, respectively. It's okay to recognize that lesbians no longer have to be women, but we shouldn't describe them merely as non-men. Unfortunately, Johns Hopkins subsequently removed the entire glossary and said they were gathering more information. They thus compounded the minor act of sexism with a serious act of backsliding, which is always bad because it gives our enemies the perception that we sometimes make mistakes. The most unfortunate part of this whole saga is how easily they could have solved the definitional problem by simply shifting it to say, lesbians are women, women, uterus-having persons, or those who identify as lesbian, who are attracted to other women, women, uterus-having persons, or those who identify as lesbian, the problem would have been solved. Moreover, they could have called gay men gay non-women and easily established that elusively triumphant inversion of the patriarchy which all relanguaging wokeites strive for. Simple. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to hold high in our esteemed Hall of Heroes the work of an unnamed teacher at England's Rye College in East Sussex for defending the right of one of his Year 8 students to identify as a cat. This 13-year-old she-line student likes to dress in cat-like attire and meows her answers in class when called upon, and teachers who show annoyance at any of this are disciplined for discrimination. When a fellow student refused to use her preferred pronoun of cat self, and dared to tell the young Molly, "How can you identify as a cat when you're a girl?" the unidentified teacher heroically called her despicable. Well, we just think it's wonderful that the leaders of this Thomas Aquinas Trust School are working against such bigotry and catnip it in the bud so quickly. Cases of other students identifying as horses, dogs, and even dinosaurs have all been reported in the British press. But of course, using the correct pronouns and allowing meowed answers is only the first step for these young people suffering from species dysmorphia. Beyond allowing them to put on fake ears and tails and fur and use scratching poles when bored in class, we should really start funding research into what sort of medical therapies might bring out their true selves. Just because this girl was identified human at birth, that should in no way prevent her parents from giving her whatever necessary species-affirming care they can to manifest her true Katniss. Artificial whiskers, fur transplants, perhaps even a prosthetic tail that responds to her emotional cues. And obviously, she should be allowed to use the litter box of her choosing. Surely these trans species children deserve to mature and grow in a supportive environment and should be given every opportunity to receive the feline alignment therapy they need. So good work, Rye College, even if pronouns and respect is all you can do for now. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Sadly, today's macrame and tambourine session had to be canceled due to an emotional trauma suffered by Caroline Johnson in her yoga class on Tuesday. An ignorant male attendant actually asked her if she wanted help with her breathing, a clear microaggression implying that a woman would need a man's help to do, well, anything. She's been sedated for 2 days. Keep her in your mantras. Refreshments will be on the east lawn next to the pedal trolleys and the compost pile. Thank you to the fine people at Upside Foods who have donated an early batch of their recently FDA-approved lab-grown chicken, formed safely into the shape of harmless flower petals. We're just giddy with excitement to try this new no-range chicken for ourselves and taste the delicious meat that comes without a face.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
827 on News Radio 92.
Leafy afros upsetting the Lorax.
Yeah.
I think you're right on the cat self. I think you're wrong with that one, but...
Oh, man. Oh, we got so many texts on that yesterday. That was so funny. All right. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And I've got traffic on the fives. Accident Beverly Parkway and Rock Island Place in Pensacola. Not showing a roadblock there. And really, it seems fine wherever you are as far as roads go. We're not showing any slowdowns. You're just your usual areas of congestion, mostly at lights. It looks like I-10, I-110, everything is moving at posted speeds. If you have a traffic tip, though, text it in, if you would, 437-1620. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and snarky.
And snarky, yeah. And mean, and how dare I. Yeah.
Dude.
You know how I feel? David Wayne's got our headlines in the newsroom. David?
The Supreme Court has yet to release a pair of major decisions for the term. They've not handed down rulings on cases involving affirmative action or President Biden's student loan relief plan. They are expected to announce some decisions soon. Interstate 95 in Philadelphia reopening at noon today. That highway's been closed for 2 weeks after a tanker crash caused a portion of the roadway to collapse. And the FBI investigating after suspicious substances were mailed to Republican lawmakers in Tennessee. Officials say the letters contained unknown white powder. Testing is ongoing in the substance, and this comes after more than 100 leaders in Kansas were sent similar letters here just last week.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. By the way, you know, Candy, I think I know where all the furry, especially the, you know, feline stuff, I think I know where it originated. Okay. It's Jennifer Lawrence's fault. Hunger Games?
I've not seen it. Oh, because her name's Katniss.
Katniss Everdeen? Yeah. No, okay.
She's the one that volunteers as tribute, right?
There you go.
That's the only thing I know about.
That's exactly right.
Looks supposed to be good.
You think Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk are actually going to fight?
I don't, but man, they said if they do, it'd be a $100 pay-per-view, and I will get cable and pay it.
People will pay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, for sure people will pay. I think this is fascinating, because like Mark Zuckerberg actually competes in jiu-jitsu tournaments.
I saw that. Elon has some training to do, but he's got almost a foot on Mark.
So, yeah, I looked up the stats, okay?
Pounds?
So Elon Musk is 51 and Mark Zuckerberg is 39. 12 years is a lot.
I
mean,
know.
Speaking as a 52-year-old who tweaked his ankle stirring coffee this morning, like, I don't know how,
dude,
but this is life.
See,
you know,
this yeah, is it life. Just happens.
Somebody made the comment. They said, "I so respect 70-year-olds." I'm like, "Me too." You know, if they can even move, they're doing amazing. He's got 25 pounds on him, or 32 pounds, 186 to 154, and in height, he's got 6 inches, 6'1" to 5'7". I'll tell you what, I will. If you're asking me to bet, though, I'm not betting on Elon Musk, who said my special strategy move is called the walrus. It's where I lay on top of an opponent and do nothing. So I don't know if this is actually going to happen, and I'm telling you that having watched some of these like celebrity fights or whatever in the past, they're never entertaining because they're not good.
You shut your mouth. Okay. You didn't see Greg Brady and like Horshack and all of those?
Just saying, I have seen him, and I wouldn't see him again on purpose.
That's one of us. The rap is next.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. The race to rescue morphs to mapping and salvage of the debris field off the bow of the Titanic. Five souls lost in what the Coast Guard calls the implosion of the OceanGate submersible during its descent Sunday. Michael Smith, friend of the French explorer aboard, tells Fox it's a fitting resting place for the man they called Mr. Titanic.
So we always said, you know, if there's a problem, out of the body in the presence of the Lord.
Hunter Biden enjoying the White House state dinner for India's prime minister last night after a House committee released IRS whistleblower testimony claiming favorable treatment in his tax and gun prosecution.
Including an authenticating a WhatsApp message in which Hunter Biden demands payment from Chinese officials, noting that his father is in the room.
House Ways and Means Chair Jason Smith. Hunter Biden's federal court date is Monday. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 81 degrees already this morning. Sunshine here in Pensacola. The Santa Rosa County Commissioner's supporting the premise that pornography has no place in schools and anywhere involving children, but they did not yesterday formally vote on a resolution brought forward by District 3's James Calkins.
I don't want them to ever think that they can come into our lane, because that's all we're going to invite them to do at this point. And I'm in agreement with this. I agree, but I don't think it's going to accomplish anything by doing that other than saying, y'all can come on over into our lane now, and I don't really want to do that.
While Commissioner Kerry Smith and the board did not vote on that resolution, they did vote unanimously to declare the month of June as a pro-life month in Santa Rosa County. Culkin says that Santa Rosa County is the first county in the U.S. to make that resolution. A Gulf Breeze doctor's office being investigated. FDLE agents were conducting search warrants yesterday. Two people reportedly were detained at the office of Dr. Elaine Sharp on El Rito Drive in Gulf Breeze.
Coordination is critical in any investigation that we do, especially multi-agency investigations like this is very critical. I mean, it's critical in law enforcement in general, but particularly in cases that are multi-jurisdiction in nature. Which is, you know, why you see the multiple agencies here.
That is Special Agent Chris Williams with FDLE, and he says the results of the investigation won't likely be released anytime soon. The Florida Department of Health did confirm that an emergency restriction order was issued against the doctor's office yesterday afternoon. Dr. Sharp is an OBGYN that also practices in addiction medicine and interventional pain medicine. Local ham radio operators are going to be out training over the weekend. It's part of Natural Amateur Radio Field Day. Ham radios can play an important role when regular communications are disabled after a disaster.
They do play a role in our emergency response and other things. They kind of go unheard of, if you will.
Right.
But they are there, and they do provide a good service to Escambia County and all across North America for that matter.
County Administrator Wes Moreno says groups will be setting up an emergency site and training on using their radios as they would during a disaster. The event's happening at Ashton Brosnahan Park and Travis Nelson Park in Bratt. And if you've got an interest in ham or you just want to check it out and learn more, stop by and take a look at what's happening out there. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office has arrested two people in connection with a shooting that left a 24-year-old dead on Monday.
Our detective stayed up 20 hours straight, nonstop, until this case was solved and both individuals were in custody.
Sheriff Bob Johnson says 20-year-old James Cartes has been charged with first-degree murder. 29-year-old Marcus Dickinson has been charged with second-degree murder. The shooting happened around Wallace Lake Road. That's off of Quintet Road in Pace. Investigators believe it happened during a robbery attempt. And it is 8:35, News Radio 92.3. Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
And this is brought to you by America's Best for a comprehensive eye exam, plus two pairs of glasses starting at just $79.95. Book an exam at americasbest.com. That's americasbest.com. And we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. Chase Street, Gregory Street, looking downtown, Garden and Palafox, all checking in clear. No slowdowns on Cervantes or Bayfront Parkway either. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3 and 4 alternative local dependable.
We're going to have a 40% chance of some afternoon showers, otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. Rain chance that continues for the weekend, but still a isolated chance in the afternoon, high near 88 Saturday. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 82 in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, and 81 in Milton.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Your money now this morning. If I can get my screen to cooperate with me here. There we go. The market's opening down. The Dow down 232.59 at 33,714.12 today. The S&P 500 down 31.57 at 43,50.31. And the NASDAQ down 121.04 at 13,509.57. Our 10-year bond rate down today at 3.70%. Gold prices are up, though, up 2020 today at $1,943.40. Silver prices also up there at $2,252 this morning. Existing home prices seeing the biggest year-over-year drop in over a decade now. The National Association of Realtors reporting that the median price for a home last month was just over $396,000. That's a drop of about 3% compared to a year ago, and that's the biggest decline since 2011. Overstock is buying Bed Bath & Beyond's intellectual property and their digital assets. They're paying $20 million for the bankrupt retailer's brand name and online business. And Vice Media, boy, that was once valued at billions of dollars, now being acquired out of bankruptcy for $225 million. Three investment companies will be taking over the media group after Vice said that they didn't receive any other bids in their search to sell the company. It's 8:37. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
The hip, the hip, hobby, you don't stop. Wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's time to talk about the news of the week or whatever else comes up. And I suspect with my two guests today, it might well be a whatever else comes up because they both can chat. One's done it professionally many, many times before. That's Marty Stanovich. The currently, in his current life, he is the president and CEO of First Tee Gulf Coast. Marty?
Only for 14 years.
There you go. Right. Just recently started this. Yeah. And then, you know, Brian Wire, who is the president and CEO of the Gulf Coast Minority Chamber of Commerce. Brian?
Good morning, Andrew.
The first for both of you. On the wrap.
Yes, it is.
This is very exciting.
No, I've been on, but I only get invited on when you're not in.
Well, that's not the wrap, see.
When John Hutchinson is doing it?
That's something else. Oh, wait, did the wrap with John when I was out on a Friday?
More than once.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, see, the things I learn about my own show when I'm not paying attention. I love it. Brian, of course, I was in Leap with your wife, with Harriet.
Yes.
So, you know, she's fabulous, of course. So let's do first thing, because I'm sure there are people, Marty, who don't know First Tee. I'm sure there are. There are always people who don't know stuff.
Sure.
So people who don't know First Tee, tell them what you do. Other than shelter in the storm when you're trying to have a tournament. Last Friday.
We are, last Thursday evening, we did get hit by the non-tornado tornado. So, come look at my video camera, see all the swirling winds and stuff flying around, and call that straight line winds. Rocket scientists down at the EOC. We teach golf skills and life skills to young people ages 5 to 18, and we do it regardless of ability to pay. And we only seek two outcomes, good citizen, golfer for life. That's it. We're not trying to grow future professionals, but we are trying to grow people who will play the game. And, you know, I can tell you, I started playing 52 years ago, and all the other sports that I played, they're pretty much all gone other than tennis. And I'm really not very good at tennis anymore because I got old.
Because your body changes and your knees say stop. Please quit. They please don't do this to us anymore.
Gravity is just awful.
This is a question out of ignorance, but I know you'll know the answer. On Spanish Trail at the end, at the southern end,
yes,
there was a project in the works, and I think it's been done, but it was supposed to be this, you know, what, like a range and some facilities, and I don't know what happened there. What is it right now?
It's all there. It's all there.
Okay.
Bubba Watson owns it.
Right, right.
Pensacola Golf Center, and that is city property. You have to keep in mind that that belongs to the city of Pensacola.
Okay.
It's on a lease, and it is essentially an easement extension of the airport.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that essentially works out to be at the square root of four, carry the two, southeast end of the runway.
Right.
And so you don't really want a good housing development there, but a driving range is a great use because it's obviously low density. And Bubba and Randall Wells and their team had an incredible plan, and I'm not going to say that the city might, I can neither confirm nor deny that city might be difficult to work with on things like that. But it just hasn't moved forward like they wanted to. But it's still a golf range, and it's still there. And
so the big plans haven't come true yet, but the driving range portion of it is operational.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, yeah. I basically stumbled on that place on my bike several years ago and kind of been wondering what had happened to it since.
Yep.
So
still open.
Brian, with the Gulf Coast Minority Chamber of Commerce, again, you know, the name is sort of self-explanatory, but just in case, you know, people might not be familiar with your work or what you do, you give them the elevator speech.
Yeah, the Gulf Coast Minority Chamber of Commerce really exists to help out small businesses, minority businesses, veteran businesses with the helping to receive the ability to help to get some inequities gone in our community. So we get together, we form groups, we talk about the challenges as we have. We really are involved working with the city and the county and try to get more minority businesses to get contracts and bids with the county and the city, which is a big area of needed improvement.
So this has been a big push for several years. I know Commissioner May has pushed a lot for this. Mm-hmm. I think we even passed some ordinances to try to make that happen more, that there would be more requirement of minority contracting. Have we made progress in the last, say, 5 to 10 years? Have things gotten better for minority contractors being able to secure bids with the county or the city?
We definitely have made some progress with getting businesses registered. Getting the actual bids, we have not made a lot of progress in those areas, to be candid with you. I mean, I have some metrics, but I don't really want to, you know, get them out there until I make sure that we have a good chance to get some background behind it. There's been lots of changes with the county and the city with leadership and the purchasing departments. There's been changes with new software, changes with personnel. And I just want to get a chance to make sure I review the metrics again and get them back out in the future. But minority businesses getting bids in the county and the city and many other areas of town is still very low.
Is the barrier on the government side, or is the barrier on the applicant side? If you had to pick a place to focus your efforts on improving things.
Really, I would say both. A lot of the minority businesses have challenges going through the registration process, lack of experience, generational wealth issues, and not having that background and experience. And one of our goals is to help them out in that area. From the government side, it really is the ability and a sort of it was done out called the disparity study in City of Pensacola 10 years ago. And the study basically said that a lot of the bids and contract goes to the bigger companies, the good old boys, the way they described it. Even non-minority businesses in that disparity study, which was a 460-page document, $250,000 spent by the city, said that the challenges exist where the bids are not getting to those smaller, non-influential businesses, and many of those being minorities.
You know, it's interesting. We use that term like good old boys, but that's really just a sort of a shorthand version of who you know.
Exactly.
And being familiar. And Marty, I mean, like, you know, you work in the golf world, right? So how much business that gets conducted because people know each other over golf games or because they go golf together or just that kind of, you know, you hang out with the people who tend to look like you, tend to be in your social circles. And we don't think about how that can reinforce certain barriers just because that works. And so we don't go outside that.
That's one thing that we try to, I hesitate to use the word combat, but we try to eliminate by bringing, you know, young people of all diversities together.
Yeah.
And from all economic backgrounds, all social strata, and, you know, get them to understand we're not really as different as we think we are. You know, the reality is there are barriers, and if you have money, it's a lot easier to make money. If you've been in business, I mean, Andrew, you talk a lot about politics on your program. Who's better prepared generally to win, the incumbent or the challenger?
Right.
The reality is the incumbent. So the guy who is running his grandfather's third generation company, it's not just that his grandfather knew the chief building inspector's grandfather and also the county commissioner's grandfather.
Right.
The reality is he's already got 186 employees. He's got a market cap of $3.6 million. He's already got 14 projects going. He's got 17 foremen out there working. He knows how to do this. The guy who's brand new to the business trying to kick in the door, he hopes he's got a sledgehammer.
Right, and it's you know, all of these things that, like you say, you're expert at it because you've done it, you're doing it, you're connected and involved and aware, and people know you, and even unintentionally, those can create barriers for the startup,
sure,
whether they're black, right, white, or anything. Mm-hmm. But especially if you have, you know, not wholly overlapping cultural relationships, your circle of friends, all of that stuff. And, you know, I know the Minority Gulf Coast Chamber of Commerce is kind of always trying to work on improving that. And I love the idea of bringing people together through sport.
Sure.
And especially a sport like golf, which is so tied into kind of the business community.
Right.
8:46 on News Radio 92.3. We're talking to Brian Wire and Marty Stanovich here on The Wrap. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Highway 90 clear from Milton into Pea Ridge into Pace. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. This week was Juneteenth. Monday was Juneteenth. And for several years now, you know, it became a holiday officially. Mm-hmm. President Biden made it a holiday in 2021. It is a holiday in Escambia County. It's a holiday for the city. It's not officially a state holiday, even though they've kind of recognized it as a day of significance. It's not the same. I always try to promote it because, to me, it's an American holiday. It's, you know, the ending of slavery. I mean, that's something we should celebrate, right? But even so, even being in favor of it, even celebrating it, and here's what Candy and I were kind of talking about this off the air the other day. I don't know who I would say, like, happy Juneteenth to. Right. Like, if I see you in the grocery store, I might say Merry Christmas. You know, I might say Happy Easter. I might say Happy Thanksgiving. I'd be pretty reluctant to say Happy Juneteenth to somebody, because if I'm saying it to somebody who's black, am I saying it to them because they're black? Mm-hmm. Is that appropriate? If they're white, would they even know what I'm talking about? It's kind of this, we're not quite there as a culture in terms of having embraced it. And so we're in an awkward place, to my mind, even of how to celebrate it. But also, these interactions are strange.
Yeah, it really is challenging for many people because of the fact that whole part about being uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable topic to talk about that because it really celebrated a time that where black people went through slavery for so long, went through horrible time periods. So you're celebrating the fact that slavery is over, but it's uncomfortable people to talk about it and to bring it up. It's also a very new holiday. It hasn't been around very long compared to others, so people are still getting used to it. I saw a lot of videos online about people, non-black people, saying, what is Juneteenth? Why are we doing this? You know, I have no clue about it at all because it really hasn't gotten out there in full steam yet.
Yeah.
This year, I've seen more events, better coordinated, celebrating the Juneteenth day than I have in the past, and we're building it up and it's getting bigger and better. We have money allocated from the city towards Juneteenth events, and yeah, I was part of a planning committee for that to help see who got the money, and there were so many great causes out there. It's only going to get better at the time. It just takes some time to get the word out there and to get the message out there to everyone.
And I think for some people, white people, I'll say, perceive it as being a black holiday,
mm-hmm,
and which I think is a mistake, but I think is culturally accurate, you know, that it is much more honored among black people than it is among white people so far. Would you say happy Juneteenth to somebody else who's black?
I wouldn't say happy Juneteenth. I would just talk about the day in general.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say happy to them. But we talked about the fact of like Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah,
these are
all
events that are very
fun and
well
food
known.
And history.
Fun, foodie, right, food partying. And people even say, hey, I'm going to have some Juneteenth food. I'm going to have some black food. People say, and it's kind of uncomfortable to talk about having black food versus non-black
which black
food
you're going to have exactly.
Exactly. You know.
What's on the buffet? Let's talk.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it still just really hasn't quite made it out there all the way. And I think the non-black community, the black community is embracing it more and learning more about the history of it and celebrating it more. But it's still some time to take place for that to happen.
I'm curious, Marty, what's your kind of...
I spent 14 years as a college history professor.
Yeah.
And so my background prior to talk radio, prior to, you know, being a CEO of a nonprofit, was teaching mostly American history, but also classical civilizations, you know, and Juneteenth was part of the modern half of American history.
Interesting.
And unlike Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day are not federal holidays. Let's go ahead and point that out right now.
Good note.
You know, I am completely Juneteenth neutral in this sense. Most people out there in America, when it comes to Memorial Day, Labor Day, oh goodness, Thanksgiving, they don't eat, you know, Good Friday. They maybe Good Friday slightly different.
Might
but on
be,
most
yeah.
of these,
I get
MLK
where you're going.
Day, the vast majority of people, because you know the reality is they're government employee and bank holidays,
right?
School holidays sometimes too. I guarantee you the vast majority of people look at it as another day off mm-hmm. and don't give any consideration to the meaning behind it. Do I consider that as a problem? Well, what do you think I was trying to do as a history professor?
Right.
I was trying to stamp out ignorance. I want people to come to a level of understanding
yes.
of how history and the teleology of history and the progression of history, how did we get to where we are right now today? And what was the process to this point? And you know, Juneteenth is a significant part of it. If I said Middle Passage, the reality is Brian probably knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You're a college educator. You know what I'm talking about. I'd go more than 50% of the people listening right now are going to have to Google what the Middle Passage
right,
is.
Right.
Sorry. That's just the reality of life, people.
So I'm kind of curious with that in mind that, you know, there's been a lot of changes in Florida law regarding the teaching of American history, certainly. And I was just listening to somebody who, I think it was at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, I think is who I was listening to. And she was a teacher who taught it. Yeah, she taught at Gulf Breeze and she taught debate. And she said, but I don't teach anymore because with the changes in the law, I'm so worried that I might run afoul of something I'm not supposed to say it the wrong way. I might inspire a lawsuit. I might get sued or something like that, that I just don't even feel comfortable in that. And I talked to somebody else who was having that same situation, a younger teacher, like a second grade teacher. And she said, I'll be honest with you, it's becoming really unfun to teach these days because we're all so scared of which book or which lesson plan or which word is going to get us in trouble. You know, I taught college level philosophy, but you can't teach when you're scared of teaching getting you in trouble, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, tenure was created for a reason because we need to be able to get out there and talk about controversial subjects. We need to be able to talk about the realities of slavery and its role socially, historically, economically in the building of this nation and a lot of the difficulties of this nation. You know, post-Civil War, Reconstruction period, Jim Crow era. I mean, that's what I taught. And yeah, I think it's a very, very, why do you think they're like rats from a sinking ship in the world of teaching? Because you're underpaid, you're underappreciated, and you say one thing wrong between this ridiculous social media era that we live in and also the restrictions on teaching, you no longer have a career. And think about, I look back, I'm a product of public education.
Me too.
Until I arrived at Tulane for my PhD, I literally never went to anything that wasn't a public school, college, or university, ever. And I had great teachers, Andrew. I had phenomenal
Same.
Teachers.
Yeah.
All colors, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. I mean, it was just ran the gamut, and they were passionate about what they did, and they were great at what they did. You know, but the problem is we keep kicking this political football into areas. And look, there are some things that we really need to leave. You're raising kids. Yeah, there's some things, you know, I don't think
we homeschooled for a reason.
Think, yeah. I don't think your kindergarten teacher needs to be determining the gender of your child
or hiding it from you if they're, yeah,
okay.
all of that.
I mean, the reality is there is a role for parenting mm-hmm. and there is a role for a teacher, but no amount of money would ever send me back to teaching in the public school system these days.
And see, that was kind of the question, yeah.
And one of the things, too, that Marty, you mentioned about losing your career, it's not only your career, your reputation
oh,
now.
100%.
With social media, you say the one thing wrong, and it gets out there, you're branded, and you're
exactly.
placed in a situation that's really tough. If I go to, sure. to an area, and I'm in a picture with somebody with a plantation dress on, or someone that, you know, is a maybe, you know, insensitive towards cultural things,
yeah.
that's it for me. Not only my career, but my personal life. You could be placed around an entire world on social media, banishing you for that. And I always offer people some grace. People should have grace when they don't know. People don't know some things, and they do some things, and you have to educate them and let them know that this is what it really is. after you let them know that, they still go that route, then that's a different story.
You know,
but give grace.
Eventually, though, Brian, we're going to have to take back social media. I'm sorry. Yeah. The death of common sense has taken over America, and it is ridiculous to think that somebody could spend their entire life focusing on something as good as a career as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about what you do. You are making a lifelong commitment to have to get a level of education, then continuing education to keep your teaching certificate, yep, and go in there for a very low amount of money. Now, high quality of life, a lot of challenges, low amount of money.
A lot of personal reward. I mean,
you build the relationships with, as you know, that teacher-student relationship.
Very rich experience.
Incredible, absolutely. But the fact that one wrong misstep can literally throw out decades of incredible hard work, that's ridiculous, and that's what's wrong with social media in this country. And eventually, those of us like you and I, Andrew, who want to do the right thing and do it well, you know what? We've got to take that back.
Right.
Yeah, this idea of defining people based on their one worst even, or even just one taken out of context moment in their life, it's no way to treat humanity. And, yeah, really, you know, like you say, how can you function in that environment? We're talking to Marty Stanovich and Brian Wire here on The Wrap. Let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
Again, not showing any delays. It looks like Highway 90 is clear all the way through in Milton into Pace into Pensacola, and 98 clear from Navarre into Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. This week we had, I consider it really big news in terms of fighting crime, which we had the announcement that ShotSpotter got funded by the governor. He didn't veto it, which means it went through. The city and the county, Escambia County, our sheriff's office, are coordinating on the zones where they're going to, you know, implement the ShotSpotter. It allows police or sheriffs to respond immediately to a shot fired. It discriminates between a bullet sound and a firecracker or a backfire or a trash can being dropped or whatever. To me, this is revolutionary, and I weirdly find myself thinking, my God, we might finally be able to get a grip on the shootings and the violence in this area. Brian, I almost feel like I got to talk myself out of being too optimistic.
Well, I think technology and ability to help find ways to do this is just amazing. I mean, if it's out there, let's use it and put it in place and find out the source and origin of where this is happening. So I think it's just an amazing. I was at the press conference when they talked about it.
Yeah.
And I was just truly impressed in the fact that we're using this kind of it's amazing when you think about it, like sci-fi, the fact that you're looking for different noises and sounds and being able to detect what that is. It's just beyond belief, I mean, mostly how it works, but it's I'm so glad it's there and thinks it'll make a difference in our environment.
That the computer can basically listen to the sound, determine it is a bullet or, you know, it's not, decide, okay, that's a 9mm. Oh, that 9mm is moving, so we know the car is traveling and we know where it's going, and we can relay that information to the cop arriving to the scene.
Yeah.
When previously they would have had to go to somebody's home and be like, so where do you think you heard that you're not sure what it is noise again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is...
Oh, it is. It's incredibly revolutionary. A lot of people are going to say it's Big Brother watching you, and absolutely, Big Brother is watching you, and if you're doing nothing wrong, you got nothing to worry about.
You know, that's one thing about, you know, the sort of cameras are part of this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Cameras, a lot of which already exist. I find myself torn, frankly, on the cameras, because we have cameras on our house. You know, a lot of people have cameras. They're incredibly valuable for determining who committed a crime, for solving things after the fact. And we're nowhere close to like enemy of the state kind of stuff where they can just watch you all the time. But you know that future has got to be coming.
Oh, well, the future's already here.
No, in some places it's like that already.
If a crime is committed in your neighborhood, they're going to come to you and say, hey, can we see your video camera footage?
That's right.
We're going to work backwards. We're going to track down what's going on, and we're going to help to solve the crime. The reality is it is already here. And you have to do longitudinal research and extrapolate statistics and say, hey, 10 years ago, this did not exist. But 10 years from now, we're going to look back and go, have we been safer? Well, you know what? Shootings went down 66%. Crime in this region went down 72%. And if not, then it was a complete waste of time and money.
And that's going to be part of the real-time crime center, which the sheriff is standing up in conjunction with the ShotSpotter and everything else.
Yeah.
So.
And with the ShotSpotter also, it helps to take some of the pressure off of the innocent people in the area that don't want to report this is going on,
because it will always
there's a fear.
Report.
I mean, in the environment, there's cases we have, but there's a whole fear involved with that.
News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The TSA pausing their upgrades at the airport because of record-breaking travel numbers. More after this update from Fox News.
The Supreme Court may be about to rule. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. There are several key cases still to decide before the justices end their term this month, from affirmative action to a challenge to President Biden's plan to wipe out thousands in student loan debt for millions of Americans. 1 year after the court's ruling allowing states to ban abortion. So later today,
the president and vice president are expected to win the endorsements of major abortion rights groups at a political event Planned Parenthood Action Fund. Emily's List and NARAL are making early endorsements to raise the profile of the abortion debate a year after the Supreme Court struck down the Roe v. Wade precedent.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. House Republicans are considering impeaching President Biden. Two committees will investigate his border policies related to the record surge of illegal immigration. They are also releasing testimony in their probe into the president's son.
From two IRS whistleblowers claiming the Justice Department interfered with the investigation into Hunter Biden's taxes and foreign business dealings. From Greg Shapley and another agent whose testimony says the IRS delayed enforcement actions before elections.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. Democrats say the investigations into